it's just to continue quickly. Reading the book will show their state, will show them who they are. It also will show them what God is. It was Job who said, I have heard of thee with the hearing of an ear, but now I have seen thee. I repent in dust and in ashes. It brought him to his right condition. When you read the word of God, you know your real condition, and you also know who God is. And that will adjust your relationship, because we always measure ourselves. And generally speaking, we measure ourselves against either ourselves or against somebody else. The measure stick is Christ. And when we read the word of God, it will help us to see who we are and what God is, and brings adjustment.
Not to get ahead, but that's what you see in verses 4 through 38. I mean, or starting even in verse 6, thou art Lord, and thou art Lord in verse 7. And then, and thou camest down in 13. I'm just skipping around, and it's all about what the Lord did and how great he was and how they fell short. And so I think the confession, we should be putting God in our perspective and then how he sees us. Because if you focus on yourself and how far you've fallen short, and I hope I'm not getting ahead in the study. I know we still have 2 and 3 there. But you're just going to get down on yourself, and because you're always going to fall short. You know, there's always mistakes. Everybody always makes mistakes. And if you dwell on that, it's not going to do anything. But the focus should be on the Lord. And when they fasted, of course, it was to cut this self off and the sackcloth so that they could see God. And then when they see God, of course, they see themselves in it. But it's in a wonderful light, because, again, they were inside the walls here. They were already back and not fully restored, but they were already back in a relationship with God here. They had just celebrated the feast there, so they can see God now. And I think that's part of the focus. I think with young people, a lot of times we look at what we've done wrong and we say, yeah, thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross. But, and you put out a laundry list of what you've done wrong, rather than focusing on how much the Lord has done. I mean, these verses really cover the entire history of Israel, and it's all in relation to what God has done for them from creation in verse 6 all the way up to the current timing of this chapter in verse 38.
So you can put it this way, Matt. Sin needs to be confessed.
Yeah.
And when sin confessed, then the soul will see the greatness of God and the mercy and the grace of God. I'm wondering if I can get some help, that there is another order. Brother Tony earlier asked about the first three, and yet there is one more act that they do before they start confessing. And I'm wondering if we can get some help, as the need or the thought of separation and then confession comes in view.
Just quick, the sin acknowledgement and confession is to see God. It's not to acknowledge the sin. It's to put it away, confess it, and then see God.
I think that's very important that we develop that thought of separation. Separation must come before confession, or our confession is but a mockery in God's eyes. So we must separate ourselves from that which has come in, which is against the law of God. And that's really the beginning of verse 2. The seed of Israel separated themselves from strangers. So what's the significance of the seed? What is the seed of Israel and the strangers? What's taking place here?
can't be with the world. We have to separate ourselves from the world to confess our sins. We have to get as far away as we can from what the world thinks and does, and go have a time alone with the Lord.
Needless, that is important, the practical separation as the people of God, to be separated from the world, all it stands for. For really, that's the spiritual application, for we are a spiritual people, and now our citizenship is in heaven. But when we look at here, just in the character of Nehemiah, first of all, and the people of Israel, and the seed of Israel, there is a helpful verse in Ezra chapter 9, and verse 2. There it says, "For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass." The holy seed. This is the seed that is spoken of in verse 2 of Nehemiah chapter 9. The seed of Israel. God had chosen the people of Israel out of all the other nations of the world. They weren't the strongest nation. They weren't the biggest nation. But God, in His sovereignty, He chose that people to be a people called out for Himself, an earthly people. The application, of course, for us is that we too have been, we've been chosen before the foundation of the world by the sovereign election of God, chosen for Him, and now called out of this world. But this seed was to be a seed that was holy for Him, chosen by God, separated from all the other nations of the world, and for Him and for His glory, for His praise, a people in whom He would dwell and at whom He sought to be in their midst, and that would bring praise and glory in return unto Him, and that He would be their God. And this was the purpose of God, and that He brought them then here into this land where they were now captives, as we read later, but now into this land of plenty, the land of Canaan, the land of blessing. And here it was a place for them to be separated from all other people. And so, but when we read in verse 2, the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. What had happened? Well, we read in Ezra, there where there had been really marriage that had happened with the people of the nations. Daughters, sons and daughters brought in and intermingled with the people of God. And so we have this unequal yoke, if you will, of what has come in and defiled that holy seed that was no longer separated completely for God. So when we think of, and I'll stop here, but when we think of the book of Nehemiah and the fact that they came and they were building the walls of the city, and then they rebuilt all the gates of the city, these are on the chapters before, right? And we understand what are the walls and what are the gates, right? And the walls for that which is to keep out that which doesn't belong within. And the gates simply to only allow in what was appropriate, that was kept for the holiness of the Lord. And so there was that which was allowed in, but then there was that which was to be kept out and separated from. And here we've allowed in that which was to be kept out. And so this is the lesson then for us that we need to develop and see, what is it that we who have been chosen and selected by God Himself, by His sovereignty, for His honor and for His glory, as a people separated from this world, what have we allowed in that we need to separate from, that is of this world, as Jeffrey was speaking, and that we put it away from us, that we are separated wholly as unto the Lord.